Dirtbag Dan is what I call it.
Help me, Dan, please. I can't take it anymore.
Dan Zangrilli, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. Both Larry Kelly and Joe George are AV rated, as is the entire LGKG firm. LGKG, your home team. Also, your heart care matters. It's 90 degrees and sunny, a great day to get your heart checked at UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute. And we are going to go to the fan hotline, which the fan hotline is brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh, trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're going to go to Dan Zangrilli. Dan, how are you doing today, sir?
Paul, doing well. How's it going? I understand you're making some waves on the Twitter machine.
I don't even know if it's making waves, Dan. I'm reporting the Pirates are trying to trade for Taylor Ward.
I like it. No, not, I didn't say that disparagingly.
I'm just saying, I don't know why it's making waves. It's like these people are acting like there's never been two teams that have talked about a trade that may or may not happen. Why is it controversial, Dan? That's what I want to know.
I never suggested that it was. Who is?
I'm asking you. I'm saying, why is this controversial?
Well, first off, you're assuming somebody's suggesting that it's controversial.
Well, the way that some of these people are coming at me, it's like I'm making this up or I'm lying or that, you know, because some national writer said, well, the deal isn't close or whatever, that therefore I'm lying about what I'm saying. All I'm telling you is the Pirates are trying to consummate a deal for Taylor Ward. With the Angels. Whether it happens or not, we don't know that.
Well, how about this? I'm hearing much of the same thing. So
okay. So in other words, the news item is the Pirates and Angels are talking about a deal for Taylor Ward.
Right, and the Pirates are talking to a lot of people about deals.
Right.
Of course
they are.
Right. It just like the other 29 teams are. So, yeah, but boy, that would be exciting. We can dream, we could think, we could speculate.
And yes.
If this comes to fruition, oh, boy, I think he fits nicely on so many different fronts. So I know you didn't ask me about it, but I'm...
No, I want to know. I want your opinion of it. Because to me, it looks like... Here's the thing. Now that we've gotten through the flights of fantasy about the Vlad Guerrero Jr. type deals, okay, now let's look realistically at what the Pirates might do. Here's what I'll tell you, Dan, and then I'm going to get your opinion. But here's what I'll tell you. This is exactly the kind of deal that they would probably, or that they're going to try and do, which is a controllable guy for a couple of years who is an upgrade of some degree to what they have that won't cost a ton in terms of prospect capital or whatever the return is going to be, right? And it's a guy that perhaps has shown in the past that he could be a pretty good player. He's got a little bit of power from the right side of the plate, which is what they're looking for. I'm not sure, you know, really, like, I mean, this kind of checks the box on the kind of deal they're going to do, doesn't it?
It checks every box. And he also wears a few different gloves. Obviously, the most time that he's spent has been in the outfield, but you know how they love their versatility, Paul. But in all seriousness, he's put, albeit just a handful of times, a first baseman's mitt on. He came up as a third baseman, former first-round talent. But obviously, he could play essentially four different positions for you, maybe even five if you want to try to hide him in center field. He's done that as well. This is absolutely right in the Pirates' wheelhouse. And I still think it's going to cost significant prospect capital just because of what the market is going to bear. And it may even actually cost them some major league pieces as well. I don't know if I want to go pieces, but a piece. I would not be at all shocked if it was a combination of guys with big league service time at one point and some decent prospects because, you know, not only are you trading for the player, but you are trading the contract, which has significant value, and he does fit right in this window. I mean, ARB 1 is 25, ARB 2 is 23, ARB 3 is 26, and then he doesn't hit free agency until 2027. So, even though the OPS is right now kind of grading on a curve of what OPSs are in 2024, 737 is pretty solid. He's a 320 on base guy. I like I like it. I'm assuming he's not going to break the bank, meaning that you could probably stay away from your top three prospects, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to have to package multiple guys. Probably, I would think, it'll cost you a major league piece as well. So I think it's going to be a combination of a number of players that are going to have to go for Taylor Ward. It's not going to be like a one-for-one type of deal.
Yeah. I just think it's one of those things where it'll be interesting to see what kind of package they could actually put together if they are able to make the deal. It's just amazing. I also think that, you know what, there was this report from Parado that the Bob Nutting told Ben Cherington and company basically there's not going to be a lot of money to add at the deadline or whatever. I will say this. After thinking about that, you know, initially it's like, oh, you know, but after thinking about that, the other part of that is, you know, talking about moving some contracts around. Like, I honestly think, Dan, if they were to say trade because of where they have the strength and they've got guys coming back that are going to be healthy in the next couple of weeks, they could probably trade an Aroldis Chapman and a Martin Perez, not significantly change their team at all. I mean, really, if you think about it, save some money and then move that money to go be able to maybe go out and make a deal, right?
And well, and I'm also not sure that there isn't dollars available to add, assuming that they felt that they were truly in it. You know, like there's so much nuance that goes into this. Like the Taylor Ward deal probably is something that is more in tune with their 25 chances, their 25, 26 roster, than it is their 24 roster. So I think it would be silly to add a rental to try to shoot your shot in 2024, because I just don't think that they're right now in a realistic spot to do anything, especially with their pitching situation. Everyone wants to talk about, you know, this window, this opportunity this year, but I'm speaking of this more in terms of workload and, you know, the Jared Jones development, which that's probably going to be late August, a couple of months there with him. So that changes the dynamic of things. So I think whatever they're going to do, they'd love to add, they'd love to build their team. And I'll go back to some of the things that they did in 2012. The Wandy Rodriguez deal, even though it didn't work out, on paper it was a really significant move, one of the more significant moves that they made outside of maybe the Archer deal in the Huntington tenure. But what it did is Rodriguez was under control for a good number of years. They wound up eating his salary, I think, the following year, but they gave up, I think, three pieces to get Wandy Rodriguez. Yeah, sure, to help them make their half-hearted push in 2012, but the intent of that deal was to have a mainstay in the rotation for the next couple of seasons with Wandy Rodriguez. So any deal that I think that they're going to try to make this year, and that would probably include onboarding salary just by the byproduct of the acquisition, but if you offload some as well this year, then maybe it's a net zero and you're not technically adding. That's the type of moves that I think the Pirates are going to make, because I just don't believe that 24 is the year. Unless they show in the next couple of weeks, and then maybe it's more of a mirage and use 2018 as a cautionary tale. If you catch fire for 10 days, fool your general manager, do you wind up making some really silly decisions? So I think that the Pirates are really going to try to be measured with how they realistically view 2024, and anything that they do is going to be, well, sure, if you can add for 24 and that helps you, they're looking at 2025 as their window realistically, and I don't understand how you could objectively think otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. The thing about it is, If they win some games here, you know, over the next couple of weeks, I mean, it's going to probably put a little bit of pressure on the front office to make at least a few moves, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, as it was, again, I'll use 2018 as that example, that cautionary tale. They win 10 games before the All-Star break, and their general manager says the heck with it, and he throws up the Hail Mary, and it really sped up a regime change, and it kind of put the Pirates into the tailspin that they've been in over the last 5 years, essentially expedited a rebuild. So again, use that as maybe a cautionary tale. They have a pretty good realistic prism of what this team is, and especially offensively, despite last night, despite Friday night, that would be great, but I don't think it's very good, and it's going to take turning the Titanic around on a dime to get all of the guys that need to perform better offensively, performing better offensively this year, this quickly. I needed to see that about 2 to 3 weeks ago, and I didn't see that. If they win a third consecutive game tonight, that's going to be, what, their first three-game winning streak in the better part of 2 months? So that's the issue here. They don't, you know, we're talking about something and we're hoping for something to happen. If they catch fire, well, what have they done over the last 2 months to lead you to believe that that is even possible? It's been quite the contrary. They're telling you that, no, we don't have the ability to do this. We don't have the ability to roll off 7 of 9, to go, you know, 15-3 over our next 18 games. You need everything firing on all cylinders instantaneously, and that, for me, needed to happen 2.5 weeks ago, and it hasn't. So that gives you an idea. We have a pretty good understanding of what this team is, right, after 90-plus games. And I'm not sure that it's necessarily worth adding rental pieces, expiring contracts for 2024 to make a push. I think that would just be a silly proposition. But any deals that include, like, a Taylor Ward or that are similar to that, oh, I'm all in on that, because it can help you in 24, and maybe, you know, you trip into something this year, but I'm looking at 25. I'm looking at 26.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, I think one of the things that the Pirates need to do, though, is make sure that in going into 25, they do whatever it takes to make sure that next year it's not a team that we're punting on again, and or not necessarily punting, but saying, well, it's next year. I think they've got a lot of pieces that they could trade. I think they've got a lot of pieces that they could, you know, I think that they have the ability maybe to go out and sign a guy or two. But between the end of this season and the beginning of next season, they really have to make their team better, don't they?
They sure do. I don't think there's – and they have to also spend more prudently. I mean, we want to talk about the money that they won't spend. I think we need to look back, you know, over the last 3 to 4 years and tally up all the money they've wasted. They've not spent it wisely. Rowdy Tellez maybe being the saving grace here. Chapman has been very pedestrian. I mean, so mercurial. But when you look at the overall investment, you probably could have allocated that elsewhere. So they not only need to spend a little bit more, and I think they will, because I think we have a pretty good understanding of how the owner operates. He's going to cash flow this operation, and there is a direct correlation, and you can look at attendance figures and subsequent year's payroll, and there is some connective tissue there. So the Pirates are having, I think, a pretty good year by their standards at the gates. Payroll's going to increase, not only organically by the young players that they have that are going to start to get into arbitration, and they do have a lot of 0-3 players, but you know, everybody wants to talk about the Brewers, how they're spending $110 on their payroll. Well, they drew $2.5 million last year. The Pirates drew $1.6 million last year. When the Pirates drew $2.5 million at the gates in 2015, in 2016, their payroll, I think, was $110 million, or it was at the $100 million mark. So I think there's going to be more money available, because we've seen, especially over the last month and a half, some really good crowds and that average attendance tick up. And that will, and as has been the case in the past, as inconvenient a truth as it is to say, the payroll will increase as the attendance has increased over the years. And you could go back, you know, in 12, 13, 14, 15, and look at the increase in attendance based on what happened at the box office.
Yeah, you know, that's just you hope. That's a big hope.
Well, that's what's happened. I'm just citing past history.
Right. I'm just saying you hope that they spend, you know what I mean? I just, like I said, I hope that I'm okay with them saying, basically, we're going to make a few little moves at the deadline to see, you know, but we're not going to, you know, part ways with major pieces, and we're not going to take on a lot of salary, and we're not going to bring a rental player here. I'm okay with that, but I feel like in the offseason they've got to do some bigger things in order to make sure that next year, you know, they can really make a run at it.
And, you know, I think they will. I mean, assuming that, you know, they do have the funds to do it, I think they will because of what I just mentioned about increased attendance. And I do think that they'll have more of a propensity and an appetite to add to the 25 team because I think they believe that their window is 25, 26, 27, especially with their core players and how they're locked up. They also have to just do a much better job prudently of developing internal talent, extrapolating what they can out of who they have. I don't think they've done a very good job there. And they also need to acquire better the free agents that they've signed. And there have been other organizations that have done similar deals and taken bargain basement guys. They have hit more than they've missed. And I think the Pirates have missed more than they've hit. They've got some success stories, absolutely, with their one-year free agents that they've been able to, you know, Tyler Anderson and Quintana, and they did a nice job of parlaying Vogel back into Colin Holderman and things of that nature, but they've also flushed a lot of money down the toilet. So $30 million is not a lot to spend in an offseason, which they did this past offseason. They need to spend that 30, maybe 10, 15 more than that, and rather than get a bunch of pieces, I think they need to allocate that much more prudently to acquire more impactful players that are going to help the cause, because next year is a very important year. It's also the year that the past regime, if we want to look back and compare and contrast, you know, the Huntington and Charrington regimes, it wasn't until year six that Huntington was able to get everything firing on all cylinders. That was 2013. And next year will be year six for Ben Charrington. So that's what I'm looking at, and we'll see. We will absolutely see. It's going to be interesting. I know folks are restless, and it's really disappointing this year because there hasn't been much marked improvement as far as wins and losses, which I think that's the biggest thing that everybody needs to figure out a way to reconcile right now.
Yeah, that would be for sure. The one thing I'll throw at you before we let you go that I threw at City Limits, which is amazing considering we were talking about DFA and the guy about a month ago. Rowdy Tellez is only 29 years old. If you could get him, say, to agree to, say, a three-year deal, $15
million. Oh, my gosh. So that's where you're at now, Paul.
Would you do that?
No, absolutely
not. Okay, all right.
No, I'm looking to – I'm flipping him at the deadline.
How about a two-year deal for 10?
I'm selling high, Paul. I'm selling sell high. Hit the eject button. Cash out the stock while you can.
Okay, so you say absolutely not. Not no. You don't. You're talking about moving on from him already.
My thing is,
if you sign him to a 2-year deal, it gives you 2 years to figure out what you're doing first base for the rest of your life.
I understand that, but also didn't I just kind of give a lecture about spending money more prudently?
Yes.
And signing guys that are more impactful. Unfortunately, and this is, listen, it's a terrific story. With Rowdy Tellez and all the credit to him, how he figured it out, and it sounds like he did it on his own, of turning this around. And sure, he was given more than his fair share of grace, and there was a ton of patience to allow him to do this. But I'm unfortunately not going to get fooled by six good weeks, because the larger sample size is a guy that's kind of been somebody who's floated around, has the one really good year. And again, I'm trying to flip him for something meaningful, similar to what you got for Daniel Vogelback. You got one of the best setup men in baseball, potentially a future closer in Colin Holderman. That's where I'm going with that asset. I'm not really entertaining Rowdy Tellez beyond 2024.
All right.
And I could be wrong. A palms up. I could be an idiot, and I maybe am, but. That's I'm a 3-year deal. No, pass.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you talked me back to reality. And I figured it would be something worthy of a July talk show topic.
Well, and maybe you're buying low too. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, maybe this is here to stay. I don't know. I mean, and you don't have a ton of time. You would have loved to have seen this earlier so your sample size could be bigger, so you could be more convinced to jump in with both feet. But over the course of 6 weeks, and you have, another two remaining, that's just not enough for me to dive in head first on a 3-year commitment, a 2-year commitment. Maybe you hang on to him, you don't trade him if you're that intrigued, and you just risk losing him to free agency, which I don't think would necessarily be wise, but that's if you're thinking about going that way, maybe you hang on to him for a couple more months to grow that sample size and begin some very informal discussions and plant a seed for the offseason. But I'm looking at this as I would any other 1-year rental deal. Try to flip him, sell high, extrapolate as much value as you can, get a controllable player for 6 years, and have a Oviedo-Quintana story or a Vogelback-Holderman story.
Yeah. Wait. Vogelback.
Vogelback was traded to the Mets for Holderman.
Okay.
So basically,
what you're saying is every fat guy is going to bring back a good reliever.
Well, unfortunately, Yoshi Tsutsugo didn't yield much a few years ago. But no, I mean, that's what really the purpose is to signing these 1-year guys, is to try to rehab them. Maybe they help you get through whatever you need to get through for the first few months. And if you catch lightning in a bottle, you keep them around. But you flip them as rentals, and you hope that you get an overpay on them. And right. The Pirates did that with Quintana, and they got a really nice controllable arm. Unfortunately, he's hurt, and imagine if Oviedo was here in 2024. But that's a hell of a success story, and I think the same can be said with Daniel Vogelback. You sold high on him. You got a one nasty, filthy, elite reliever by many metrics, and you know he's here for the foreseeable future, and that's how you build. That's how I'm operating with Rowdy Tellez here over the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, all right. Thank you, Dan.
You got it. Thank you, Paul.
All right. That's Dan Zangrilli, Fan Hotline. He was on the Fan Hotline.